All right, Zaya, once again, thank you for taking the time to meet with me. For the recording, could you please state your first and last name?
Cobra McCullough.
And Mr. McCullough, what's the name of your business?
Carolina Seafood LLC.
And can you tell me a little bit about how you started your company?
I started my company in 2008, me and some college buddies. I first started doing the business aspects in 2006 or 2007. I was selling fresh seafood, shrimp mainly, out the trunk, pretty much going to flea markets and things and such. In 2008, it was doing so good, we decided to open up our own fresh fish market. And by then, that's what started it.
Okay, and
when
you say
we... too much into it, I know you ask questions. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. This is good. And then when you say we, who's all included?
It was only me. When we first started, it was a guy named Jermaine Sanders, one of my partners from South Carolina State University, I went to college with. He no longer is a partnership. It's just me. I'm the only sole owner now. But in 2008, it was me and him. He left the business in, I think, 2012, I believe. He left the business, and I took control ever since then.
Okay. And could you give some examples of challenges you faced as you were trying to start your company or transition to a business?
One thing, the bills, you know, commercial billing is much more higher, and then trying to fit bills such as your light bills, your payroll, your water bill, you know, all of those things, you want to try to factor it in along with your sales. And sales in the fish market, you have some ups and downs because, as you know, we have things to have a lot of spoilage. If nobody don't buy the fish, fresh fish within 3 to 4 days, you know, we have to leave to throw it away because there ain't no type of soup kitchen or any type of that take perishable items. So the waste is very high in the fresh fish market. And that was one of the challenges, was trying to maintain and trying to keep up and keep track of how many people you got coming in, how many people you think gonna come in next week, and how many people you think gonna come in within that month. And that kind of shapes, you know, and prepare me to how much I need to order for fresh seafood, fish, shrimp, crab legs, what may it be. Because too much overage, like if I buy too much fish, for example, and nobody don't show to buy it, then I'm just leading to a lot of spoilage and waste. So that's like one of my biggest and main challenges. One of my other challenges may be the up price of the product during any type of storm, a hurricane, any type of seasons like that. I have to bite the bullet a lot of that, being I am a fresh fish market. So a lot of times, most of your hurricanes start on the coast, in the water. And this causes an uproar with fishermen not able to go out and go fishing, or some of the fish been fished out, and, you know, just going back and forth with the agriculture board and DNRs, pretty much, you know, the natural resources, to see what's going on. Sometimes it leads to being higher prices, which leads to me to have to up price my product because of the disasters of the hurricanes and things like that that happen on the coast. But those two are some of my biggest challenges.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I know you mentioned you no longer have a partner, but do you have a management team in the company?
I mean, I have a supervisor and I have workers.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I currently have 4 employees, and I don't have 1 supervisor. I have a mobile food truck. I usually do that with contract out throughout the week for lunch and food truck events. The fresh fish market, as in, that's open Monday through Saturday from 9:30 to 7, and it's the only fresh seafood. We have a you buy, we fry policy, but we're not registered as a restaurant, so it's not like you can come and get your sides and things with it, but we will fry or steam whatever you buy off our raw bar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when problems arise within the business, how does the supervisor or your employees or yourself resolve those issues?
It depends. It depends. Like, for example, I can use some problems, if I can handle them, I will. Some problems rely within itself. Like, I had a guy, this was back in the open. It's like when I Yelp reviews. A guy ordered some oysters. He had this big party he was having for his granddad or whatever. So he called up there, asked, "Do we have it?" He was like, "Yes." Like, "Well, would you help me get there?" It was like, "No, you have to pre-order in order for us to have it, you know." So to make a long story short, the guy never pre-ordered. So when he came in to get the oysters, we didn't have any more. So he just went to a big rant. Went on Yelp and saying how he ordered oysters and they didn't have it for him and this and that, which we couldn't control, you know, what we have. Pretty much dealing with fresh seafood. It's first come, first serve. You pre-order, we will hold it for you. But we can't hold seafood being as perishable. So that's one of the issues. But pretty much we just take down the number. We don't have much problems. If it be any problems, it would have to be somewhat of the spoilage of the food. I don't have any type of cook problems with cooking the food. You know, so I might say the fish wasn't right or whatever. And so by one of our policies is whenever you buy, unless you, of course you don't ask for it, but make sure we put ice on your fish. A lot of people like to go places. For example, I had a lady buy some croaker and we put ice on it and she went to Walmart in the summer and went shopping in Walmart for an hour or two, came back, she had, like, I guess sitting on the dashboard, and she came back like, "Yo, this fish is stinking, it stank up my car," and how that type of situation that she brought the fish back, and within an hourly of time, but it was sitting in a thing of water, where you could tell she had it in the sun, where the ice had been melted. Fish had been sitting in water for hours at a time in the sun, you know what I'm saying? Things like that, you know, it's hard for us to do any type of refunds or anything like that. So our policy is no refunds. But if it's something that we can take care of, how do we look there? The management will take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so do you have a board of directors or an advisory board who you consult about decisions for your business?
No, I'm the sole owner of the business. I'm the organizer and the president of the business. Pretty much, like I said, we're a small business. We've been around for 10 years. Our accumulation is not really based upon the board membership as far as the income that's desired to come in. So pretty much what I'm saying is, I guess once I can step up my pay rate and get up there, I might decide to bring in the board, things of such, but other than that, nah, it's just me.
Okay. And have you had any experiences that you've had during your entire career that influences the way that you run your own company?
Explain this question.
So, like, your work history, has any of your work history had an impact on how you run your own company?
Of course. Well, you know, I went to college for psychology and sociology, and I worked beforehand at the Pathways and DSS, so I'm very familiar with people and socializing, so I've always been good with that. I never thought I'd be in sales, but obviously I'm doing pretty good at it. Like I was telling you, I was peddling shrimp and seafood in my college days, before I received my own fresh fish market store. So I kind of learned a lot in and out, you know, with that, along with taking classes like Surf, you know, DHEC type classes, kind of to know how to keep up with the temperature with the food and, you know, things of such. So it's kind of was like a smooth delivery for me because I was already doing it after Trump. Mm-hmm. So it just pretty much I stepped it up to a store, a place of business, like I said previously, more bills, more payroll, just pretty much just more bills, you know.
Gotcha. So I know you mentioned it's a smaller company. How often do you hire new people?
I don't really do much hiring because we work around the clock. Preferably, I hadn't hired in the last like 3 years.
Okay.
Everybody I have on the team, they still be on the team. I have pool workers, I have part-time workers, and also, you know, I have, I'm like family-owned, so I have family helping out if need, if any workers are already off that day or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I was going to ask you about that, about family, because in our course, I know, like, that's normally people's go-to to work with family. How has that been? Has there been any issues working with family or any conflict?
I mean, of course, you'll have issues with anybody, regardless of family or not family. You know, being the owner of a business, you know, you kind of expect things to be handled a certain way, in the way you would like to be handled, not the way they might be handled. Like, they might think it's better this way, or it may be better that way. But being that the fact that you are an employee of the company that I'm on, I pretty much ask my family to kind of, you know, attend by that. Mm-hmm. But other than that, that's the only things that will be a difference between family, pretty much. They want to do it their way. But as far as being a real, I can explain, outrageous, stressed out, you know, fire type situation, it would have to be like something against the policies, like stealing or you know, any type stealing, drug test, failing drug test, it, things like that. It's absolutely no. But far as just making a mistake here and there, I mean, it's life. But, you know, I get more of that from a family than I do from people that's not family that work for me.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And so another thing we discuss in class are like the A players, which we mean like our superstar employees, the people you don't really have to motivate. Do you feel like you have A players? Since you said you haven't had to hire or fire really anyone?
Well, you know, I'm kind of like hard on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say I got like B minus, B plus. So I say B plus people. But, you know, they may be an A for anybody else. You know what I'm saying? But they're real understanding and they're there for me sometimes even after hours. Like a lot of people, you know, once you do your hour of time, you're like, hey, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You told me I need 8 hours, my 8 hours up, and the dedication of, you know, maybe working over that time to help me out and get by. You know, I definitely keep that in, you know, in mind before I make decisions on anything, you know, far as, you know, firing anybody or, you know, discrediting them what they are. So I pretty much say that all of them's an A player for the most part. But you know, yeah, ups and downs, like I said.
Mm-hmm. And as far as motivation and rewards, how do you motivate your employees or reward them for the good work that they do?
Well, I do, I pretty much, as far as motivation, I do holidays. Through holidays, certain holidays we off. I give all my employees Christmas gifts. You know, even I had one employee, he's no longer with me, but you know, he don't celebrate Christmas. He was Muslim, but I pretty much still gave him something for that holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I do that for Christmas. It depends on like my catering gig on the food truck. You know, I give incentives and different things, commission, if you get like a big contract, you know, like I received a big contract with Duke Energy,
mm-hmm.
to feed the crew for lunch, and one of my staffs actually, you know, called and asked them and put in our bid and went through the process, and when we was able to get that bid, you know, get that contract, and so, of course, you know, that employee was able to gain commission off that. So, you know, pretty much also do advancements. Like if sometimes things don't work out for everyone and, you know, things happen and you may need some cash before it's time for your paycheck. So I do that for my employees without charging any type of interest, nothing mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, those type of things I do. They give us that family feel, even though we're not all family, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. All right. And then, Inger, what's a typical day for you when you're at work?
Far as
the business, like, what would you describe as a typical day for you? I know every day wouldn't be the same, but what's like your normal routine at the company?
As far as at the fish market, the food truck?
Yes, sir. Well, either one, the fish market or the food truck.
To my far as income or far as just what duties we do?
Yeah, your duties as a the CEO, the leader, the president.
Well, my duties as far as pretty much just paying the bills, like I say, keeping up with stock, keeping up with all the licenses and the regulations and agreements that I have for us, you know, from simple things with getting your oil tag, your old cooking grease oil tag, on fire extinguishers to make sure they all kept up, and all the food truck maintenance, repairs, because you're going to have repairs. Like I say, once again, stock. It'd be sometimes where I have to drive to Outer Banks or drive to Charleston to pick up stock. Pretty much just the whole thing just to keep the company running. The job duties as the employees is to pretty much try to keep the place clean, be presentable with staff, wash the fish off every morning, you know, see what's good, what ain't. We have to take some fish out the freezer to unthaw, have that unthawed, tag that, what day should you start unthawing. You have to have those type things for the Department of Health. Pretty much just the upkeep of the business, of the shop. So it's like a nutshell, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And two more questions. How do you keep up with your successes and failures of the business? Like, do you keep a record?
Yeah, of course. I have to keep a record. Like, once again, you know, this goes to show, like, the first 2 weeks, like, the first 15, the food truck and the fish market pretty much be good business. Last 2 weeks was kind of slow business. And I learned from that, from pretty much monitoring what's coming in and out through my books of paper. I also have a, before we even did our business, we did a business plan. And so a lot of times I go back on my business plan and try to highlight things that I can do to keep my business up to afloat, because sometimes you don't have the capital, the income to do what you want to do, so you have to wait to lead up to that, but I still have it in progress and written down for my to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
So for the most part, you know, I definitely have to write it down. If I have to write it down, that's to keep up with stock, because like I said, if I order too much fish or too much seafood, nobody coming by, I lose out. Now I'm losing out with the spoilage of the fish, payroll, less income. So it's really a task. You know, a lot of people that I talk to wouldn't dare take on that task, being considering that a lot of people like convenience, you mm-hmm. know. And so a lot of times they don't look to buy the freshness of a fish. They go to Walmart, they can go buy the bag, tilapia, the bags, wild whiting in the bag, bing, get out of there, I get home, I get work till in the morning, or what have it. You know, so it's not too many conscious people. But now I guess with the food being alert all on news about the things they have in it, more people start to be more health conscious, want to eat more healthy, and so that's where I get more of that crowd coming into the fresh fish market. But the fresh fish market always maintain a settled amount. Can always do much more, but it always with the settled amount compared to the food truck. It's cooked food, it's convenience. It's for lunchtime, it's when people are hungry, so it's a much more profitable than the fish market itself.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, and then last question, what advice would you give to future entrepreneurs or young entrepreneurs?
Pretty much, stay fast, stay calm, you know. know, because you want to do things, you want to do it. You get caught up in trying to do it so fast, trying to be so productive. And a lot of times I kind of look over things, you know, before I do it, I might review it 2 or 3 times. I might even go out and see if someone else honored that type of work in their restaurant, their place of business, how it went about with them. And then I step out of faith and try it, you know. Mm-hmm. And if it works with me, then I kind of stick with it and go with it. But what was the question?
Advice that you would give to any entrepreneur.
Okay. Well, the advice I give, like I say, pretty much just stick with something, go with it. You know, make sure you do all your research on it before you start your business and just step out there. I mean, me personally, I didn't have the capital to go in and just, you know, was able to get a big elaborate spot and get these 18-wheeler food trucks or fish market trucks to go. I was able to start from the bottom, getting out the mud, starting out the truck, made my way to a store, and constantly trying to go to the store. Now, I could do much more marketing and advertising than what I do, but that marketing advertising gets so expensive that the expenses that I can use for that, I can use to help me out with other parts of the business. Mm-hmm. So it's fun, you know. There's nothing like running your own business. And like I said, you pretty much got to step out on faith because, once again, you know, you got to make sure your employers are paid. You got to make sure you got stock in order to make money. And as far as your payroll, your pay, that's last if you have one. You know, it's been time I first opened the business. I wasn't able to pay myself to like the first 3 months. Mm-hmm. You know, but here I am now, 10 years in the game. So you know, it's you know, it can be stressful, but you definitely gotta be studious to it and just stick with it. You know, that's the only thing I say, because I have a lot of people that try entrepreneurship with different types of avenues, and a lot of people try things just because of the money adventure instead of something that's love. So if you want to do something, make sure it's something that you love, something you really want to do, and not so much of how much money you can make off of it. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it don't necessarily works like that. You know, no matter, like, for example, this spot don't have a liquor store. Oh, I can put a liquor store here and it'll boom and this and that. You know, I make so much money. You get that liquor store, you don't make no money. Now you can put all your apples in this little hat, and there's something you really didn't want to do, but you thought it was going to make so much money. So definitely, you know, if you want to be a successful entrepreneur, do something that you love, something you like to do.
All righty. Well, that concludes this interview, and I do thank you for all of your insights and your time. And once again, thank you.